Hi, this is Mark Trencher. I just wanted to share with you information on a new podcast named Orthonomics. We explore fascinating and timely Orthodox Jewish community issues through the dual lenses of actual data and informed conversation with communal experts. Our recent episodes have talked about such things as the challenges of being Orthodox in a secular society, why some people become Orthodox and why some others leave, the cost of Orthodoxy, educational issues, the evolving roles of women, and upcoming is a new study on the lives of Orthodox Jewish single individuals. So take a listen. The Orthonomics podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts.
The Queen's Jewish Link presents the Jewish Living Podcast, the show that examines the many facets of Orthodox Jewish life. Here's your host, Izzo Zwirin.
This week marks the start of Pesach. I would imagine that many of you out there are prepping for this holiday in the various ways that we normally think of. Cooking, cleaning, packing, Divrei Torah. There are some of you out there, though, that may need a different kind of prep. Perhaps more than any other Jewish holiday, Pesach has an insane emphasis on food. What you can eat, what you can't eat, how much do you have to eat, how much is too much, until when can you eat, when can you start eating. And I know that for many of us who struggle with eating, Pesach can be daunting. That's why I invited this week's guest back on to the program.
Hi, Miriam Kahn, retired RN at this point and certified health coach.
Miriam and I will discuss all things Pesach diet. Whether you're home or away, with family or at a hotel, worried about the Yom Tov or the Chol Hamoed, we will have you covered. Miriam, thank you so much for joining me. Actually, I'm going to correct that. Thank you so much for joining me again. Miriam was actually our first guest ever on the Jewish Living Podcast and is now here for episode 90-something or another. So welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining me.
You're so welcome. Thank you for inviting me. I didn't remember that I was the first guest, and congratulations on so many.
When we recorded, we weren't sure which order we were going to drop them in, and you happen to have been the first one that we dropped. I want to get a little bit of a background on you, and for people that want to catch the original episode, they can, to get a little bit more of an in-depth background on who you are, but just give us the nuts and bolts of a little bit of background on yourself.
Okay. I'm a nurse, I'm an RN, and I do still maintain my license, even though I retired a little less than 10 years ago. When I retired, I had no idea that it was going to be a retirement per se. I thought I was just taking on another job. And I thought that the job was going to hold me, either it'll be my next thing, or it will hold me until my next less stressful / really, really stressful job comes along. 10 years ago, life had changed for me pretty dramatically, and I was in a very unhealthy state, physically, mentally, big time, financially. And I started to take control of my health for my daughter's wedding, and it turned into a whole big lifestyle change for me on all levels.
So we have you on here to talk about the upcoming Pesach holiday. Specifically, we want to talk about people's diets and why Pesach seems to be the time when people kind of go crazy. And I know that people could tune into other podcasts and other sources for different areas of Pesach, whether it's certain, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? What's on the schedule?
Different bundle recipe like are you making?
Exactly. All of those things. We're going to be talking about specifically our diets and things like that on here. So I want to first start by asking you about the pre-Pesach prep, the pre-Pesach mentality of what you have to use going into Pesach.
I love this question. But first of all, Izzo, just so you know, every time you say the word diet, I have like a mini attack here. So
so what should we be using instead?
Well, the word, I just want to give you, the word diet should actually refer only to what you're eating, what your diet consists of, not going on a diet, but your diet is what you eat. It's your daily food intake is basically called a diet. So one of the things that I spend pretty much all day doing is help people shift from that diet I'm on, so I'm going to be eat healthy, be healthy, versus I'm off, so I could eat whatever I want because I'm just going to start the next diet again. And we hear a lot. I hear a lot about this. I'm hearing about it a little bit less because Baruch Hashem, a million times, I have a tremendous client base. I work with a team of coaches. So we've really trained a lot of the people that we work with to think of it very, very differently. So the word diet is just like, it doesn't work for me anymore. I cringe on all levels. But really it's, are you working on your health or are you not working on your health?
Okay.
And if you're not working on your health, here's a hot secret, you're going backwards.
It's kind of like your finances. You're either going up or down. You can't, there's no static.
There's no such thing. There's no, it's like living a car on an incline. You got to, it takes pretty much, you know, takes a big emergency brake to keep it from going.
Right.
And it's very hard. It doesn't mean you have to always be in marathon runner's shape or at your perfect weight all the time. It's not what we refer to as working on your health, but it means that you want to have a healthy mindset.
So let's talk about our healthy mindset then going into Pesach. What should we be focusing on? Obviously, everybody has a lot to do going into Pesach. It's probably the most hectic time of the year for most people. But if somebody wanted to focus on their health over Pesach, what should they have in mind going into the holiday?
Okay, that starts now. It actually should have started a month ago. Given that we're talking now, basically a week before.
Episode is not going out until the week of. So should have started already, but if they haven't.
If you haven't, I think the one of the most important thing is, and you know, you can read and hear all about goal setting and all the steps that it takes to set a proper goal, but I'm going to go even simpler than that for a second and ask, I'm going to talk to you, Izzo, now, ask you to look at your future self. You know, come Sunday morning, what's the date post-Pesach? What's that date?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either, but come Sunday morning.
Okay.
Or maybe Monday for most people.
It's the 24th.
Okay, so come April 24th of the year 2022. What do you want to feel like on that day? Do you want to feel like, you know, okay, I feel pretty okay. You know, I'm not checking my weight, because I don't believe in checking weight right after a holiday or a trip or a vacation. I'm not checking my weight, but I feel pretty good about some of the decisions that I've made versus I'm going to go all out and then I'm going to call Miriam Khan on Sunday or Monday to get started and she's going to help me get into shape. That's option number two. And option number three is we all, I don't care if you're 5, 55 or 85, and I'm somewhere between the 55 and 85. I don't care which age you're in. We all feel better when we maintain some semblance of healthy habits. It's a fact. You know, we eat too much. We feel gross. Think Thanksgiving afternoon. Think after the Seder. Oh my gosh. And nobody's really, the Seder night isn't even like Shabbos lunch where you might go for a walk in the afternoon. No, Seder night, you're finishing up and you're going to bed and you kind of, most of us wake up feeling just as gross as we did when we went to bed. So the question is going to be really, what do you want to feel like on Sunday, April 24th?
All right. So now you have,
that's where it starts.
That's where it starts.
Correct. Looking at your future self.
All right. So what is the, is there another, before we get into the actual nuts and bolts of Pesach, is there anything else that, so you have this mindset of what I want to feel like. All right, now I know what I want to feel like after Pesach. So what do I do now to get to that feeling after Pesach?
My favorite question. So one of the main things that I talk about is teaching people the tiny things that they can do every single day so that they add up to a lot. In other words, we all didn't get unhealthy because we ate potato kugel once a week. That wasn't it. We became unhealthy because we didn't drink enough water. We did not eat enough healthy foods interspersed with the potato kugel occasionally. We typically, and I'm speaking to the women out there right now.
Miriam's laughing because I'm pouring water
into his Hanukkah mug.
Not my Hanukkah mug.
Oh, it's a Pesach mug? No, oh, it's
my podcast mug.
And I have one of these. We're going to talk about this in a second. But all the little things, and I challenge anybody who's listening to this that wants to feel even an iota better, especially the women, is to start taking care of yourself amidst all the crazy preparations. The first thing I do the minute I start Pesach prep is I wear sneakers. I'm not a, if you ever see me in the neighborhood, I'm generally not running around town in sneakers. In the summer, maybe because I walk outside more, but it's just not my thing. I'm in, you know, cute shoes, boots. Pesach time, sneakers. Here they are. They're right here. They go on in the morning and they don't come off till at night because I'm up and down, in and out. I move better. I feel better. My back feels better. My feet feel better. My energy is better when I'm wearing good sneakers, right? So that's just like a little thing that everybody can do. You know, I saw somebody on Instagram today show herself cooking like a machine, wearing UGG slippers, which are kind of cute and cool, but they don't really promote healthy movement. And by healthy movement, I mean standing with your back straight, up and down, and it's kind of like a workout without working out, sneaking things in.
You know, it's interesting because you mentioned sneakers, and I think in the corporate world, wearing sneakers has become more acceptable. Like, even if you're wearing like a suit.
Don't have to change after you get out of the train anymore.
No, it really, like, I don't work in the corporate world, but like I see people on the train that I'm with and they're wearing a suit and like fancier sneakers, maybe like high-end sneakers. And it seems to be a style, especially with the younger corporate people. It's an interesting shift. So I wonder if that, if the health has outweighed the fashion of the dress shoe.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, it would be very interesting.
But do you hear, it's a little nuance. It's like a little thing. You're going to move better. You're going to feel better. And it's really this whole health, not diet, is all really about what is going to help us be our best selves. There's no question. I'm a very different person now that I am more careful about what I eat, drink, how I move and sleep, which is an ongoing battle for a lot of women over a certain age. It's something that I'm mindful about and I prep for every day. I'll tell you this. One of the first things I tell all my clients to do is make sure you get a really good water bottle for Pesach. Now, I'm fairly fussy about my water bottles. It has to be a certain size, stainless steel, comfortable in my hand, blah, blah, blah. But I drink one of these babies every morning, pretty much while I'm waking up.
How big is the bottle that you're holding?
This one is 24 ounces.
Okay.
So I drink three of these a day, like pretty much no matter what.
Okay.
Like, no matter what, but the trick to for me is the first one is literally guzzled while I'm getting dressed, while I'm washing up, while the coffee is getting made, while the water is boiling, back to instant, whatever. But one of these has to get in before I have the coffee.
Okay.
And it just, and that's Shabbos Yontif every day, except for Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Like, that's just it. And then another one of these goes with me in the car if I'm going out. And here's a hot trick. When I pull back into my garage, if it didn't finish, I don't open the car door until it's empty.
Interesting. You set up these like rules for yourself that you have to follow in case you end up in a certain
situation. You know why? Because I feel so much better when I drink enough water. I feel like a whole different person.
Right.
Even if I eat a little funky, if I drink my water, I feel like a whole different person. And that is free, available. If you don't like it, call me. I'll give you some tips. but if you don't like water, I encourage you to figure out how to like it.
So for me, I have a soda stream at my desk at work and I make myself seltzer. Now for Pesach, that's going to be an issue. It's not Pesach proof right now.
If it's, by the way, ask your LOR.
Yeah, I did already. My particular one is not going to be
a good flavor in it, right?
Whatever. We can talk that. I'll have people discuss why it's an issue on their own terms, but I know that my particular one is not good.
We use ours. So, but it's only seltzer.
But again, if you have a soda stream,
I do challenge you. Here's a question. Do you know how much you drink? How many ounces you drink a day?
I do not specifically, but I do have different sized bottles that I drink from. So I don't have a specific target that I have to hit, but I do know on a specific day. So here I have my 2-liter bottle. Okay. But at work I have a 24 ounce bottle and then I have another 24 ounce bottle upstairs. Depends on what I do that day. So if I'm exercising that day, I'm drinking another full one with that exercise. If I'm not,
exercising that day, then that one stays in the refrigerator. I have a bunch of different rules. So I don't have a specific target for each day. And I know that there's like, oh, you want to hit X amount of water each day. I don't have that. I have more of an adapt as you go. So maybe I have a minimum, but I
What's
might
your minimum?
Two of the 24. It's a 48.
Okay. Not bad.
That's my minimum. But it could go up there. Also, I don't count my seltzer as that. So maybe the seltzer is more. I have different things. We don't have to talk about my particular.
Here's the message. Habits. Here's the message. And this is a big message. Know how much you want to get in and then figure out how you're going to do it. There are some people that can't do this. This makes them sick to even think about a 24 ounce bottle when you're first waking up, makes them sick. So then, you know, we teach one of the big principles in what I teach and the nutrition plan that I follow for life is eating 5 to 6 times a day. So really, if the minimum requirement in the recommended government amount is, you know, 8 eighths, 64 ounces, then if you're already eating 5-6 times a day with a snack, a meal, whatever it is, all you have to do is find yourself a good 11 ounce glass, drink it. You don't need a fancy stainless steel. You don't need a fancy straw. Just know how much you want to drink and create a plan. And for those that really don't like water, one of the big things, and I do this a lot in the winter when I'm cold, herbal tea is the most, it's actually even more like water than seltzer. We'll talk about why that is another time, but herbal tea is if you really can't get it in, hot or cold is a great, you know, it's a great sub.
All right. Good to note. All right. Let's get into the Pesach situations that we're going to be facing. I'm going to break it up into three groups where there are three different types of people that are going to be interested in improving their health or focusing on their health over Pesach. I have the people who want to start improving their health today, people who haven't really been doing anything until now, but you know, like, all right, you know what? Maybe I should start thinking about this. And they might have the mindset of, all right, as soon as Pesach's over, I'm going to start. But I want to talk about those particular people. I want to talk about the people who are already in the middle of improving their health. After refrain from saying diet.
It's hard, but think about it.
Yeah. So people who are in the process of improving their health, they're on their health journey and Pesach's coming. What do I do? And then there's the people who are more or less okay with the way they are now, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, whether they're objectively healthy or they're objectively not healthy, but whatever, either way, they're okay with where they are now, but they don't want to go crazy over Pesach. So those are the three types of people that I want to discuss. So before I get into the actual day-to-day Pesach life for the 8 days, plus we'll talk about Erev Pesach also, for those days, are there any differences in the mentality between those three groups?
So there's a big difference because the one thing that I want to start with is before you start taking things away, because everybody thinks of health as what we're taking away. Oh, I can't eat that. I can't eat that. I can't eat that. So for all three groups, no matter where you are, it's what can I add that will help me feel better? And believe it or not, it doesn't start with food. It starts with sleep. It starts with your sleep the night before. And it starts with water. And it starts with a little bit of movement. Now, women right now who go to the gym normally, many of them are not going to the gym this week and next week. Practically speaking, it's just one of the things. I'm not a gym person, but it's one of the things that women often have to let go, but they can still move. And no matter where you are on your health journey, the more you stand, the more you walk, the more you move, the further you park, the more you schlep, the more times you run up and down. Like I no longer think of bringing our Pesach stuff up from the basement as like a big deal. When the big stuff, the dishes and all that, we're not up to dishes. I now keep it all downstairs. I've been cooking. I run up and down. I'm wearing my sneakers, drinking my water. I'm eating. So then the piece, again, all this applies across the board to all the people. You want to eat, and we don't even like to, we use the word fuel. You want to fuel yourself before you're hungry. You want to never get to the point where your blood sugar is dipping and you feel hungry and you start to kind of grab the wallpaper. You never, no matter where you are, all three of those categories, you never want to get to that level. You want to, again, I don't want to say schedule, but think of it as almost like on a feeding schedule of breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and a healthy snack in between. Whatever your goals are will determine what you eat. Whichever of those three categories you're in will determine what you eat. But we all need to eat every 2 to 3 hours.
Right.
Or we get cranky.
So what do you consider to be a healthy snack or a healthy meal?
Good question. So a healthy meal is really something that is a good balance of your food groups. Basically, and I'm going to hold carbs for a second. I'm going to talk about protein, carbohydrates, and fat. Okay. But the carbohydrates that you want to be focusing on the most are your fruits and vegetables. In other words, I'm never going to tell you that bread is bad. I had a tuna melt yesterday on healthy bread. I'm not going to tell you that bread is bad, but I am going to tell you that you want to fill your plate with protein. And if you want to lose weight, and if you want to not be hungry, protein is the key, not even lose weight. If you want to not be hungry, protein, vegetables. So basically half your plate, think of your plate, a 9-inch plate. This is for your meals, not your snacks, Izzo, okay? Your meal, picture a 9-inch plate divided into quarters, okay? Half should be vegetables, a quarter is your protein, and a quarter would be your healthy carb.
Okay.
Okay, so, and I'm gonna say this. How do I say this without being anti-cheesecake? Because cheesecake's it's my thing. But on a regular basis, regular day-to-day things, healthy people tend to eat similar things every day. So when I hear people say, oh, that's so boring. It's like, if I ate pizza, I love pizza. If I ate pizza every single day, I'd probably get bored of it and, you know, not want to eat
it. Sometimes boring is good.
Sometimes boring is good. Exactly. So I don't necessarily mean that you have to have tuna and salad every day, but have salad or cooked vegetable with a good, healthy protein. Building your meal around the protein and the vegetable. You do need a healthy fat. How much you need is dependent on your goals and also what your protein is. You know, obviously we need less healthy. You may not want to have a half an avocado when you're having a rib steak. It's all about balance, but you might want to have a half avocado if you're having a hefty piece of flounder or chicken breast or turkey breast. So it's all about balance, but what you always want and for maximum fullness and satiety, right? Feeling satisfied, you want to really focus on the protein, a little bit of fat, and vegetables.
All right. So I want to go back to those three groups that we mentioned earlier. So you mentioned that how they're what they are supposed to be thinking about that's the same. Is there anything that's a different mentality for the three groups?
So the people that are actively looking to lose weight, and again, I'm going to get this in. Okay. There is the movement now about not focusing on weight, which it's very hard for me to hear. I do get the pitfalls of that. The main pitfall being when you go to a doctor and all they see is that you're overweight and then they miss other diagnoses. I get that piece of it, but Izzo, I've worked with thousands of people. I've been able to impact thousands of people. Nobody feels their best self when they're very overweight. Number one. But I'm going to take it a step further. We can't be our best selves. We're not our best moms, wives, girlfriends, mothers, mother-in-law, grandmother, in my case, softy.
I've got men that listen to this too, by the way.
Zadies. Oh my God. Give me a Zadie that can't run a bike with their grandchildren. They're everywhere. And we just can't perform at our best when we're not fueling our bodies well, hydrating our bodies well, and at a healthy-ish weight. We're not going to get into the pitfalls of the BMI chart. That's just a guide. It's a general proven assessment of your risk of disease, but I'm not even talking about living in a healthy BMI. I'm talking about living in a place that feels comfortable where you can run up and down the stairs with Pesach preps and not moan and groan.
Okay.
And be able to breathe if you're blessed to teach. Izzo, did you teach anybody how to ride a two-wheeler yet?
Failed. tried and failed.
Well, I've done it with not Zev, but I've done it with the girls. I had to do it. I was the one home. I was not overweight then. I then became overweight, you know, years later, but there's no way I could have run them on a two-wheeler 40 pounds heavier than I am now.
So having said that, I'm going to keep bringing you back to these groups.
Bring me back. Give me one at a time.
All right. So the people who are looking to start improving their health now, what should their mentality be in?
Mentality should be is what could I add to feel better? First.
When you say add, you're not talking about adding food. You're talking about adding.
No, I'm talking about water, sleep.
Okay.
Is there, you know, I've spent many a night in the emergency room. I've spent many a night wide awake. I can self-study, tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that when I am awake in the middle of the night, I am starving all day the next day. Mm. When we don't sleep well, our hunger and satiety hormones get all fablunged and you just can't, I can't function. I'm hungry all day. Now I know, oh, I was up all night in the Winthrop emergency room. I know that I have to eat every hour and a half to 2 hours and I better prepare what I'm going to eat.
Okay. So people.
So sleep. Got to start with water. You got to move. These are the things you can add. And I don't mean going to the gym. I mean, putting on a pair of sneakers when you run around your house and welcome the trips you have to take to the laundry, to the Pesach cabinet and all that. Okay. So let's start there. And then the next thing that you want to add is eating often enough balanced, healthy meals or snacks, whatever the timing is, so that your blood sugar stays stable and you're not grabbing.
All right.
So it's almost like when you're having your meal, your first meal of the day, whether it's breakfast or a protein shake or whatever it is. And Pesach, we don't really have protein shakes. But whatever your breakfast is, you should already go, oh, and for my next meal, I'm going to be out of the grocery store. Let me throw a pack of 100 calorie almond pack and an apple in my bag.
Okay.
But you should already be thinking, I'm going to be out. Because how many people do I speak to that? Well, I was out. So what was I supposed to do?
All right. So now people who are already in the process of improving their health, they're already well into they're entrenched in whatever system that they're on. But Pesach's coming and there's a lot of food and there's a lot of uncertainty. A lot of the things that I usually eat, I can't eat them. And I'm forced to eat a lot of other things. So what do we do with these people?
So I love that because we did for all the clients that I work with and my team works with, we did a Zoom specifically on how to fuel during Pesach. So on the one hand, if you think about it, all your proteins and all your vegetables and all your fruits and your healthy fats, obviously your mayonnaise might be a little more expensive and look a little different, but all that stuff is all the same.
Right.
A healthy dinner is the same. It's your matzah pizza that's going to be different.
Right.
I mean, your pizza that's going to become matzah pizza. But your regular meals, tuna and salad. Now, one of the biggest, you know, I started working on my health 11 years ago, June. There was no Greek yogurt. And Greek yogurt was a game changer for everybody because it's packed with protein. You can make a smoothie with it and get a lot of protein. Even when we don't really have the availability during Pesach of protein bars and protein powders and all the things that a lot of us have come to depend on just for healthy snacks. Mm. So, that was like a whoa, big whoa. So then you have that. You always had cheese sticks, hard-boiled eggs, contrary to old wives' tales. We did not get high cholesterol from our eggs. We got high cholesterol from the potatoes.
And all right, so talk about potatoes for a second. So potatoes are a staple on Pesach.
Potatoes are a staple, but how are you eating them? In what form are you eating them?
So what are the good forms? What are the bad forms?
So
I'm guessing like French fries are probably not the greatest.
Unless they are sweet potato fries and right. You're making them with, sadly, the Pam spray or brush on some avocado oil. Which even the oils got better over the years, right. You know?
And like, air frying is, I'm guessing, better option.
Frying is amazing, but most of us have convection setting on our oven, which really functions the same as an air fryer, and you can make a lot more. So sweet potato just has a lower glycemic index. It makes no sense, but it's just the way it is. Less starch, less sugar when it's cooked. Sweet potato fries, amazing and portable. A white potato, if I don't have to tell you, potato chips don't have a whole lot of nutrition.
Right. Well,
and moderation. I'm also going to tell you that a half a baked potato or a whole baked potato, if you're not in the weight loss mindset, if that's not one of your goals, is a great thing. As long as you put on, you know, smart things.
Right. So that leads us to the last group, which is the people that are okay with what they are, but don't want to go crazy.
So those are the people, again, I'm always going to come back to the healthy habits that you start with by adding before you start taking away. And then, you know, it's the mindset basically that I have, because thank God a million, you know, I've been maintaining my weight for the most part. You know, we had a struggle year for our family this year, but for the most part, maintaining my weight within 5 pounds in either direction.
All right.
Right. So it's five down, five up. So it's within a 10 pound range, and I'm pretty petite, but it means that if I know I'm going out to pick your fancy restaurant, and I know I'm going to be eating this, that, and the other thing at the Seder, and I want to talk specifically about the Seder if we have time, it's like, well, what can I eat during the day so that I can, and I'm not really a fan of saving calories per se, but so I think of it as balancing out the day. So that's a day that I'm going to be real. I'm not going to eat anything carby during the day. I'm going to focus on egg white omelets. I'm going to focus on my Greek yogurt. And I'm going to focus on salads and those things, and say, kind of balance out every day is what you're looking at always.
Okay.
Oh, so for life.
So since you mentioned the Seder, let's get into it now. We have plenty of time right now.
Okay.
All right. So I'm getting to the Seder. I know I have ahead of me, I'm going to eat probably 2.5 full matzahs if I want to get.
Wait, pause. Okay. Pause. Because one of the biggest things is, and sadly, I really don't like when we have the clock change before Pesach.
Which always happens now that since as long as I can remember.
Correct.
We don't have that anymore.
Think about that, how late it's going to be.
Right.
So if, and in our family, like we always had this like big deal meal Friday afternoon. Like we used to either go to my aunt's house on our way to New Jersey for Shabbos when the kids were little. Not this year because mom's going to be in Israel. My kids always went to my mother for lunch because the Seder's were always at my house. Like lunch on Erev Pesach in our family was always a big deal. I think it was just like a tradition thing. But I do something else. Every year I create like a main, a protein main that is not part of any meal plan. It's not part of any menu. It's not scheduled on the Seder or the lunch or anything. So it'll be like an extra turkey roast or an extra meat, London broil or the pile of turkey breasts that's there. And I consciously encourage everybody to eat a mini meal in the afternoon.
Okay.
Make your kids nap, right? So it, on that level, I like gather all the grown-ups and I'm like, can you all eat something healthy before we start getting ready for the Seder? So that's number one.
It's a good mentality. Okay.
Eating a good protein and vegetable meal in the late part of the afternoon. And for some people, if you are working on your health, this is a really important part of the plan. And then not necessarily eating the main, ask your LOR, but not necessarily eating the main at the Seder, but going, because we really do eat a lot between the matzah, the wine, the korach, and the, in our family, soup and gefilte fish and soup. It's a lot of eating. Do you really have to eat
right
more than that? So it starts with that afternoon so that you don't come into the Seder starving, because that's a recipe.
Right. So you don't want to fill yourself up in that late afternoon meal, but you want to eat enough so that you're fine for the next couple hours.
I need enough of the right things, Izzo. Right. And that's not the time to dig into the mandel that I have cooking on my counter right now. That is not what that afternoon is for. Although traditionally that is what most people do. They'll sit down with a piece of sponge cake. You know, my dad, Olav HaShalom, used to sit down like borscht and potatoes, which may not be my meal, but that was the meal. So that is one of the key things. I mean, I don't think it's respectful to the Seder to come into it starved and like ready to devour everything that's put in front of you.
Especially because you're going to have a nice long hour plus conversation before you get to eating anything.
Kavod to yourself and to, you know, the Seder. So there are, in everything that we do, there is a better option, or there's a good, better, best. I always like to think of things as good, better, best. So your best would be, your non-whites, whole wheat matzah, spelt matzah. There's such a variety now, hand shmura of anything you want. Spelt is the big one. And all of those pack a better, less of a sugar punch to your body.
Okay.
Whole wheat, it has more fiber, you absorb it slower, fact.
Hopefully if people have time right now to go out and buy matzah by the time they hear this podcast. If they want, oh, you know what? I'm going to try that this year.
Okay, so that, file it for next year. We all have lists of all the how much potato starch we use.
Right.
So file that into, and I think a lot of people have created, because it's available and it's readily available, it's like on every shelf. I think people are more mindful about that. Always a better option, number one. Number two, wine. Gone are the Malaga Manischewitz. So again, this is dry, the drier, the better.
Mm-hmm.
All right. As tolerated, even better than grape juice. Obviously light grape juice is better than regular. Why it's more expensive, I do not understand.
I know how to make light grape juice. You take grape juice and add water, and then you have light grape juice.
So there is actually, and I don't know what website, and it's again a question for your LOR, but there you can dilute your wine and your grape juice.
Right. So again, ask your LOR.
Find out what is it. And I believe it might even be on like a website for.
You know what? For the duration of the rest of this conversation, anytime we talk about anything halacha, ask your LOR. Okay, that's a disclaimer for everything on this podcast in general when we talk about halacha. But for the rest of this conversation, particularly, so we don't have to keep saying it, ask your local Orthodox.
Everything halacha. So, but I will tell you that it is permissible to dilute, but I won't say the dilutions. Okay, so we know that whole wheat or spelt is better than white, and most people feel better with whole wheat. They feel less heavy. Thinner matzah is better than thicker matzah for obvious reasons.
Right, taste wise, also I prefer thin.
Most of us do because it's just so good. Okay, so you have that. Know your sizes. Know what your required amount is for your family, your minhag, your halach, whatever your halachic self. Know your amount, because for many of us, we tend to overdo it because we don't know the amount. Hmm. Whether it's a board, a half a board, a quarter, whatever that is, know your amount is a big one. So we're diluting our dry red wine a little bit, which is good for us anyway. We shifted the kind of matzah that we're going to have, knowing your amounts. And somebody said to me, what do I eat for karpas? So fun fact about our family. While my married life included a boiled potato, my pre-married life included carrots, celery, and parsley.
There you go.
So go wild on the celery.
But again, not too wild, because you
have not other too wild because issues. Check with your LOR. But
exactly.
It does not have to be a potato,
right? And that usually comes down to minhag, and you guys can ascertain your own family minhag there.
Correct.
I know that generally eating very late in the night, like right before you go to bed, is a problem. So we're hovering around midnight, and we just have the afikoman. Maybe the seder goes for another, I don't know, half hour, depending on your seder itself. How long after I finish my last cup of wine, my last anything that I'm eating, should I wait before I go to sleep that night?
Okay, so that's actually a cool question, because your goal, remember, one of the things that you're going to add from the beginning, which is much more important than what time you eat versus what time you go to sleep, is getting good sleep. So in other words, if I had a really wild day and I'm going to have a late dinner, right? I prefer to not have my dinner late, but let's say I do, I still want to focus on getting my good sleep. That is, right. Nothing is possible if we don't sleep. And I really can talk about this because I spent the last year really studying my sleep. I track, I monitor, I try to see what my quality is. I've tried different sleep aids, herbal sleep things and whatnot. So I really been working that, and you can follow your healthy plan much better when you've had a good sleep, and you need sleep for health. So I don't care. You finish the Seder, it's two nights a year, go wild.
All right. So let's move on to the rest of Yontif. All right. So we have Chol HaMoed and we have the last days. Now the difference between that, what I like to look at, how Chol HaMoed differs from a regular day, is that for a lot of us, maybe you're going to work, but for those of us who aren't going to work, that might be taking off, you might be on vacation, you're going from a regular week that's very structured to something that it's less structured. Maybe you have a plan, but it's definitely not the same structure that you're used to. You're changing up your schedule. You're running around with your family. You maybe you're trying to grab a bite to eat here and there, but you don't have that mentality. And the last days, for some, like I've always had this problem with the last days of Pesach. This has been my issue for a long time. Nothing happened on the last days of Pesach. Of all Yomim Tovim in the Jewish calendar, the last days of Pesach, nothing happens. You're not staying up late and learning like on Shavuos. You're not in a sukkah. You're not doing Simchas Torah. You know, Rosh Hashanah with the long davening. I'm keeping the long davening. The last days of Pesach, nothing happens. And as that would work out, that is the least structured. You're just sitting there for hours, just waiting, I guess, for Pesach to end.
And put everything away.
Yeah, so you can get on. So the Chol HaMoed and the last days of Pesach are very different than any other time of year. So what can you do to prepare yourself for the lack of structure during those times?
Another great question, my friend. So I'm going to come back to, I believe we started here, planning and preparation. Jewish families are really good at advanced meal cooking, because we do it every week. We've kind of, sometimes I marvel, like as I'm like baking all these weird things with weird ingredients right now this week. And I'm like, I marvel at what Jewish women have created and come up with. Okay. So we're really good at this. We just have to take it to the next level in terms of when you're meal planning. Like it's something that has become natural to me now, 10 years in. It's what are the things, and when I shop, I think like this. What are the things that I can buy that can be on the ready? And it's from making those extra protein mains that are not part of a meal, that are just extra for the fridge for the family, from having extra hard-boiled eggs to having the cheese sticks, the Greek yogurts, the apples. I bought really good apples today, you know, with next week in mind. And this next week is pre-Pesach, but it's the same thing. And what's car friendly, you know, and I'm going to tell you, I got Baruch Hashem, grandchildren coming. There's 10 bags of potato chips in my garage too. But fun fact, we spent many, many, many years in a hotel. And potato chips is like, they're just everywhere in the hotel. They're like bowls of them, like in the lobby, big giant, the olden days when you used to like put your hand in a bowl. And this was like years before. I'm working on my health journey. I have not been to a hotel this whole time, although I've taught people how to navigate it. But I would walk into the hotel and I was overweight. I really didn't get it, but I knew that potato chips was not a good road for me. Not even with all the knowledge, this is pre this knowledge. So I would like make this conscious decision. I'm not touching a potato chip over this whole Yontif. Because at the end of Yontif, and who knew that I'd be wanting to talk about this year, 15 years later, I've gone through Pesach without touching a potato chip because it's just a bad road for me.
Everybody has to know what their particular weaknesses are. I would tell you that mine is chocolate, and my Pesach go-to is leban. I know some people like do not like leban even, but that is my go-to. Or the elite chocolate.
Oh wait, bars. You mean like the chocolate pudding leban? That one?
Yeah, the chocolate pudding.
Oh yeah, leban. No, I'm thinking of the white leban.
No, not the white leban. No. The chocolate pudding. chocolate. The chocolate pudding leban and the like elite chocolate bars. That used to be how I survived Pesach, especially Chol HaMoed. But so I know for me that I need to stay far away from that. And yet I still just tonight purchased 10 containers of chocolate leban because my kids love them. So, but I know that I have to stay away from it.
Okay. So, but that's something that you know, and you've made a decision. But I'm going to also tell you that if it's something that whatever, I can't think of a food right now for me that's available only on Pesach that I must have on Pesach or I'll never have it till next year. I can't think of a food for me right now. I'm sure like for some people, it's Hanukkah and jelly donuts, whatever it is. I can't think
Shavuos of Shavuos and cheesecake.
Shavuos and cheesecake. I can't think of a Pesach food that I must have or I will plot. But if there is that food, and here's a really good hot tip, you want to have that chocolate leban, it's meaningful to you, save it. Have it on the last day and enjoy it.
Right.
Like.
So matzah pizza would be one for some people, matzah brei, those things that people really like to have, but maybe correct. They save it for the last day.
Pretend save like it for eat, the last
pretend
day.
Pretend like you eat kebrux. You don't eat kebrux.
Save it for the last day. It's a conscious decision. I'm having this amount and I'm going to enjoy it. You don't hate yourself when you do that. We want to get into the get out of that habit of eating because it was there. And here's a scientific fact that you get maximum taste satisfaction in the first three bites. So knock them dead for three bites. Go have your three bites of three squares of your elite chocolate bar. Enjoy it. Not, you know, balance your day so that you don't feel guilty about it. We feel guilty when we've eaten potato chips every time we walked by the tea room.
Okay. So because you mentioned the tea room, I want to say some things about hotel. I want to get your, I know you mentioned it a little bit. People going to hotels where food is abundant. Like, that's the draw.
So but I'm also going to tell you, and I say this all the time, I say this, I have a lot of clients that are going to hotel programs. I'm going to tell you this, especially now, and every year it gets better and better and better. There are amazing healthy options that you didn't have to shop for, cut, slice, or prepare or clean up after. There's omelets at every dairy meal. And if there isn't, they'll make you one in the kitchen and bring it out. There's fish at every meal. There's,
I feel like spaghetti squash is a thing now.
Spaghetti squash is a good one. That's big. I mean, because you can have that with sauce and cheese, which is really the whole reason for eating pasta anyway. Cheese is your protein. Sauce is your vegetable if it's a low carb sauce, which, by the way, the Geffen brand all year round, one of them, I can't remember which one, is only like 5 grams per half a cup, which is amazing. It's smart shopping, smart choices, great preparation. You can't be expected to eat healthy if there's nothing healthy in the fridge. Cooked, ready, and packable for Pesach.
All right. Once we get like through Pesach, I want to get one more question for you. And that is, now that we're heading towards the warmer months, what should people be on the lookout for? What should people be aware that might be tempting, that they should not let themselves get too far down a rabbit hole if that's something that's going to happen to them?
So again, this is all going to come down to mindset. What do you want your future self to be? What do you want your future self to feel like, look like, be like? Okay. And it's always maintaining that vision. You know, I like being the safty that can run in the park. You know, a bunch of years back, you know, my son-in-law, I was skipping. It was a couple of years back. My granddaughter must have been 5, and I was skipping on Hempstead Avenue. And he actually was around for my transformation because I started it for their wedding, but then continued and went on to lose 40 pounds and a whole big turnaround in how I looked and felt. And he asked me a very interesting question. And it did that to me, like stunned me. He goes, "Let me ask you something. When you were heavier, would you have skipped on Hempstead? Would you have been able to skip on Hempstead Avenue?" We were going to burn chametz at the shul, another family tradition. And I looked right at him and I said, "I wouldn't have thought to, because I would have been embarrassed." And so she was probably about 4 or 5 years old when he mentioned this. She's now 8. And yeah, I can skip on Hempstead Avenue. My knee might not be so happy, but I could do it. And that's the person that I think about when the potato chips are there. Or when I'm making my balance, think of it as balanced decisions during the day. Most of us need an accountability partner. And I'm going to tell you this, if you're the only one in your household that's working on your health, I pray for you. I will daven for you. Like, give me your name. I will daven for you because it's really hard. My most successful clients are the ones that work on their health together with their family and best friends.
As someone who has gone through this on my own before, I definitely understand it. And offline, I'll explain what's happening now. But
fun fact.
Conversation.
Catch this: if you're you're at a round table at a restaurant with a bunch of friends, right? And the first person to order pizza and fries, the orders that then go around the table will be either be the same or more unhealthy.
So the first person to order sets the tone.
And if the first person orders salmon and salad, then it will keep stay that way or even go healthier. The next person will order salmon and salad dressing on the side. The next person will order salmon and salad, hold the butter. It's a big piece. You know, we talked about water, sleep, primary: sleep, water, movement. And I don't mean formal exercise. I mean, just moving around the house, moving around, parking far, going up and down the stairs, embracing that part of movement. But your healthy surroundings are very key. If you have a lot of junk in your pantry, have a barrier so that it's like not as easy to grab. So barrier is, you have to go to the freezer downstairs. It's on a high shelf. You may have to climb on a step stool. A barrier so that you kind of have to stop a little bit and go, why?
Miriam, is there anything that you'd like to add to anything that we haven't discussed yet?
I'm going to share the most successful people that I work with, the people who really, you know, take their health to the next level, are the ones that keep their health and their future self front of their minds. So if you're davening in the morning, journaling is big. Journaling is big. Davening, it's this whole, you know, how you set your day. Like if I set my intention that I'm going to have a healthy day today, and then at night when I'm going to sleep, I reflect back on what went well, bam. Like that habit alone can push you forward in gigantic ways. So, planning your day and celebrating what went well at the end of the day. So that's one piece. The other piece is, and I talk about this, and you know, I read a lot of, you know, Atomic Habits and all the book. Two more thoughts: how you identify yourself. If you talk about yourself as, I'm a stress eater, I'm an emotional eater, I know I'm powerless around food. How many times I hear that from you know, the people who are involved with 12-step programs. If you identify as somebody that's an emotional eater, you're always going to be an emotional eater unless you start like major intervention. But if you shift and start to think of yourself, not necessarily as a healthy person, but I'm a person that values health. And I tell the story, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? If you've ever been sick, and you know I have, and if you've ever had a family member that's unwell, and you know I've been through that, you daven your brains out on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You just daven your brains out. And what is the biggest thing that we daven for?
Health.
Health and long life, right? We just spent, let's take Rosh Hashanah because it's 2 days and the impact is bigger. You just spent however many hours you're in shul davening for health and long life. And then you come home and you eat the traditional Yontif meal of challah, honey, gefilte fish, tzimis, brisket, all the things. And then we have the chutzpah to go back the next day and daven for health and long life again.
It's funny because you mentioned health, like, because how is the most important thing? Because people say, oh, if everything else is going wrong, at least you have your health. Nobody says, at least you have your money,
right? At least you have it, right? What do you have it, a boy or a girl? We don't care. It's a healthy baby.
Right, health. Exactly.
We talk about it all day long. And yet we don't eat according to that value. And in Judaism, we can have a whole nother podcast episode on things that, you know, Kiddushim can do differently. But it's like, we don't act in according to our values. Right. And that's just sad.
Miriam, where can people reach you, find you? You spoke about your Zooms. How can people get onto those that they can learn a little bit more from you?
So when I feel well, I do some teachings on Instagram at Miriam Khan Health. Facebook, it's just Miriam Khan. I'm easy to find. Miriam Khan Health, Instagram.
Okay, and we'll link to that on our social media. And Miriam, once again, thank you so much for joining me. Appreciate your time, and have a Chag Kosher v'Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
My thanks to Miriam Khan for joining me this week. Whatever your dieting strategy is this Pesach, we wish you all the success in the world. If you'd like to hear Miriam's first appearance on the show, check out our very first episode, Keeping Healthy While Keeping Shabbos. From all of us here at the Jewish Living Podcast, have a Chag Kosher v'Sameach, and Kol Tov.
The Jewish Living Podcast is produced by Sreli Pikus. Our theme song is The Band by A.B. Rottenberg. Follow us on Facebook at the Jewish Living Podcast and on Twitter and Instagram at Jewish_living. You can also email the show at jewishlivingpodcast@gmail.com. The Jewish Living Podcast is recorded in conjunction with the Queens Jewish Link.